This is the University of Georgia Griffin News, brought to you over WKU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, The Rock 88.9 FM, and stream live on WKUradio.com. This program is to update our listeners on the many and exciting things at the University of Georgia Griffin with Dr. Lou Honeycutt and his guests. The program is made possible by Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms and Murray and Company Realtors. And now today's program with Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Well, good morning, Griffin, Spalding, and surrounding area. We are back with another edition of the Griffin Campus News, and we have a really special show. I say this every week, but this is a really special show today. We're going to segue a little bit off from the norm and not just talk Griffin Campus. We have a really special guest today, and that is Dr. Kirk Nooks, who is the president of Gordon State College. So first off, welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much, Lou. Thanks for having me here.
And we have, as special assistant to the president, Lashay Sanders, who has a little hoarseness in her voice today, but she's here with us today, so welcome, Lashay, to the show.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having Gordon State College here.
We are so glad to have you all here, and people may be saying, wait, Gordon State's on the Griffin Campus News, but I'm telling you, you and I clicked from day one talking partnerships.
That's correct.
And I think it's so important to talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot of things on that, but first things first, the thing I want people to do on this show every time we meet is tell about yourselves, because I think it's so important for the listeners to understand that you're just Kirk. You're just Lashay. And that a lot of times the title president or assistant provost or things like that kind of make people think maybe we're not normal. Maybe we're not. I don't know. But so I always say it this way, from birth until now,
right,
tell us your story, then Lashay, I'm going to have you do the same thing. So tell us how you got to the seat today.
Okay. Well, because we know we have limited time on the show, I will try to give you the Reader's Digest version. But I was born in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
And my parents were immigrants from Jamaica. They came over and, you know, everyone from the family, so to speak, made their home in Brooklyn. I attended public school there in the local neighborhood, and I wasn't the best student. I wasn't the worst student. I was always respectful with the teachers, but academically, I was a middle of the road student. I grasped certain concepts and ideas, and other, you know, things I didn't grasp as much, but I made it through the New York school system from kindergarten all the way up until the ninth grade. I graduated junior high school, and right around that time, my parents decided they wanted to relocate to Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow, okay.
There were a number of friends who lived in the area, and by that time, Lou, Brooklyn was sort of, you know, becoming the Brooklyn of the 80s that
we
all saw on the news. And things started to get a bit rough. So my parents wanted to ensure that my brother and I could access education and opportunities in a different way. So we literally did move. I mean, it was Labor Day weekend in 89. I remember it vividly. A lot of folks thought we were joking around. And my mother was talking about this, but it would never happen. And she was serious about it. So we relocated that weekend, not knowing which school, per se, we were going to go to.
Sure,
but we relocated to Stone Mountain area. And I enrolled as a Stone Mountain High School Pirate.
Ooh, there you go.
And, you know, that was great for me because I was starting my 10th grade year. So I still had three more years before graduation. My brother, on the other hand, he was starting his senior year, you all.
Oh,
gosh. So the high school senior, you're the man on campus in New York. You're part of the sports teams,
sure,
and everything. And all of a sudden, you relocate.
Oh, gosh.
All the other seniors know about traditions, know about all of this, and you're trying to absorb all of this. The culture shock moving from Brooklyn to Stone Mountain during that time. So needless to say, I took the last 3 years, and I really try to make good on it. Didn't know where I was going to go to for college. Once again, my parents were encouraging me to go, but because they didn't have the opportunity to attend college, it wasn't quite clear what the steps were.
Sure.
So After speaking with a guidance counselor, they encouraged me to take a look at a few different options. And one of the options I looked at was Mercer University.
Okay.
Mercer back then was up and coming and certainly reached out to me as much as I reached out to them. So that connection with a college that helped me to see from very early on that I belonged there, that they wanted me there, that as long as I could get the tests, you know, scores, whatever I need, they would accept me. They offered me a small scholarship, enough to alleviate some of the constraints on my family's finances. And I plunged into Mercer University. And I could tell you my time at Mercer University was transformative. I had good people there, mentors there. The now chancellor, Dr. Kirby Gotze, and the former and late provost and executive vice president, Horace Fleming, very influential in my life. And Mercer, once again, was an awesome experience. Met my wife.
Okay.
You know, didn't know it was going to be my wife then, but met her at Mercer. That's another story for another segment.
Oh, sure.
But we both graduated from Mercer. We ended up staying in Macon upon graduation, pursuing master's degrees at Mercer as well. And after that, we got married, and I started to work at Robins Air Force Base as an engineer. That was my undergraduate degree. So that industrial engineering, industrial management type of discipline. I was a project manager at the time doing work for the F-15 Eagle, the C-141, the C-130, and was having a lot of success, but I was missing something. I was missing that authentic joy that comes from working in a career field that you just love, that you can't wait up, you know, you can't wait to wake up the next
Absolutely.
Morning. And there was a colleague of mine who was working at the Air Force Base with me, and he was going back pursuing an additional degree, and he was going to have to uproot his family and do all of this. And I asked him, well, why are you doing all this? He says, well, Kirk, if I can do this, then when I work later on, this is going to be a joy, and that's what I want to do. And that sat with me. I took that home with me that day, spoke to the wife. And by then we had a newborn, and she said, Kirk, if this is what you want to do, then let's pursue it. Then, by coincidence, I found out that I would need a doctorate in order to open up the higher education pathway as far as possible. I called up the University of Georgia.
Ooh, there you go.
I was getting ready to apply to the doctoral program in higher ed. And then the person on the other line said, hey, we're on moratorium.
Oh,
we're
gosh.
Revamping the program, so we're not accepting anybody now, and it's going to probably be 2 years.
Ooh.
And you know how it goes, Lou. I said, if I don't do this now,
absolutely,
I'm not going to do it. So I ended up looking at other programs, and the George Washington University in D.C. Provided a nice package, and that's where I went. So I came close to being a dog.
You came really close
to being a dog.
nothing wrong with being a colonial.
there you go. But I became a colonial. That's it. That's it. Raise high. So I attended GW, and it was also a special place. The internship opportunities there, the folks that I met, the mentors. So that's how I started my higher education career, did the graduate research assistantship, and then went to work in the two-year college sector.
Okay.
And I went to work in the two-year college sector because someone told me one day, if you really want to make a difference, Kirk, that's where you need to be. And I said, yeah. And I remembered what it was like for me coming in as a first-generation college student.
Sure.
I remembered taking classes at the community college during the summer in between sessions at Mercer. And I said I wanted to be able to help students. So that's what I've dedicated my life to. And from there, I did spend some time in the university system of Georgia, working at Georgia Highlands College. Did that for about 4 years. Then left and became a college president out in the Midwest area at a community college there. And I knew one day I'd get the opportunity to come home. Just
right.
Didn't know when. And I was blessed that last year the Gordon search was going on, and I ended up being the successful candidate. And I've been living the dream since that point.
And the rest is history. That's the rest of the story. And so when did you start? How long have you been in the position?
I've been at Gordon State since June the 1st of 2018.
It's been over a year.
Yeah, just slightly over a year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and the cool thing about what you said, and that's why I love hearing stories like this, is you were certainly not privileged growing up, as most of us weren't, but you had extremely good mentorship in lots of different levels. And I have the same story, that had people not seen something, I wouldn't be sitting here today. So I'm very thankful. I know you are too.
Yes,
for all those people that stood in line and said, "No, you can do this. You can do this."
That's correct. It's just the constant reminder from people who have lived life, if you want to call it, and they've experienced a number of things, and they actually begin to pour into you. Sometimes because people did it for them, sometimes because they're fortunate to be in a role. But I can tell you, it was a countless number of mentors who helped me to understand what was possible.
Exactly.
And whenever I made a mistake, they took the time to show me where I made the misstep and how I could do it better the next time. And I'm indebted to many individuals who have poured into me.
Oh, well said. And isn't it great to be in the position now, whether you're president or whatever you are, to be that mentor to others now?
Yes.
I mean, that to me, and that's what you said. To me, it's all about getting up and wanting to go to work and doing the thing that changes lives. And I think that's you're a great fit for that Gordon State College. Okay, let's move to Lachey and let's talk the same thing. So Lachey, even with a little hoarseness, that's all right. Tell us your life story.
So my life story is born and raised in Kansas City by my grandmother.
Okay.
And she's always been kind of my cheerleader, and as well as my grandfather and my mom and my aunts. They've always been major cheerleaders for me. And my grandmother was first generation college.
Wow.
For her.
Okay. Okay.
So all of my family attended the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. So that was like the legacy.
Sure.
And I was the first one to break it.
Oh.
So I broke the legacy, and I decided to go to Hampton, but only because my grandmother, no matter where you went, my grandmother encouraged all her children, all her grandchildren, to get some form of education after high school. And whether we did it or not, she still loved us the same, but she just always kind of said, you know what, if you just take that extra step, you'll be rewarded later on in the future. So I just wanted to go somewhere else because I'm the baby in the family.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go where my big cousins were and where my mom went and my aunts and my uncle and my grandfather. I mean, I wanted to be seen as myself, not as, you know, X, Y, or Z.
Sure.
So did what I had to do in high school to earn scholarships to help me through. And like I said, ended up attending Hampton University, where I earned both my bachelor's and my master's. My bachelor's is in business administration, and my marketing has an emphasis in finance and my master's has an emphasis in finance and marketing. So carried that with me, did a number of internships from Amazon to CNN.
Oh, wow.
Blue Cross Blue Shield, the Urban League. And then one day, there was a bug put in my ear that there was a new president that would be initiated at Gordon State College. And I just thought to myself, I said, a new president could use a new set of eyes.
Absolutely.
And so heard about the opportunity, and I said, you know what, I think it's time for a change. Let's go down to Georgia. I have family down here, which is awesome. So I applied, and I remember vividly at the time, Dr. Stuart Rayfield was interim president at Gordon State College. And I spoke to her, and she's very, very, very nice, has that Southern hospitality, that Southern charm.
Sure.
And when she spoke to me, I just something in me was like, oh, you got it. You got it. So spoke to her. She's a delight. And she called me maybe, I want to say, 2 days. So at this point, my heart was in my stomach.
Absolutely.
I hadn't heard anything. But about 2 days later, she calls me, and she's like, hey, Lachey. And I'm like, hey, Dr. Rayfield. And she's like, how are you today? And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, she's leading me on to just,
for a big letdown.
Yeah.
It's coming.
I'm like, just cut to the chase. And so we carry a conversation for about 2 minutes. And then she says, oh, and by the way, we selected you. So, I'm on the other, when she says that, I try to play it cool. I'm
of
like,
course.
Oh, well, thank you so much. But in the back of my head, I'm like, yes. Change is coming. A transition is coming. So ever since then, kind of like Dr. Nooks, it's you know, it's history from now on. But, you know, I love Gordon State College and the newness and the change that's coming with it. I believe it's a beautiful campus filled with beautiful people who have welcomed me with open arms since day one. And just the passion behind the rallying cry, Highlanders Forward, you can feel it. It's contagious. And so I'm really excited to partner with UGA Griffin and to have met, you know, people like yourself, Dr. Honeycutt, who have also welcomed us from a different county as a brother sister school to us. We are so appreciative to continue on this journey with people like you by our side.
Awesome, very very well said. I mean, it's obvious why they chose you, but we've all been through that phone call where you think they're going to let you down,
right?
And then it's like as an afterthought, like, oh, by the way,
that's right.
And you're like, and you want to say, could you have led with that?
That's right. Yeah. Start off with it, right?
So as a someone who hires people, I've always tried to lead with the, hey, we want to have you come join us. Then do, because I know the other side, you're just waiting to hear.
Well, before you get any further, it's that. Both incredible stories.
Absolutely.
But the thing that I find most amazing is that although both stories were incredibly extensive, both of them look like they're about 15.
When they came
into the studio, I thought I was going to have to identify, you know, card both of them.
I'm glad you said that because I feel the exact same way. Every time I'm around either of them, I feel 79,000 years old.
Which
is great.
It's good genes, you know. I was just joking earlier on. We did the summer commute to Six Flags over the weekend, and I could tell you I'm feeling the aches and pains today. You know, years ago I could do it with my eyes closed and no problem. Today I'm walking around a lot slower, so it's catching
sure.
up with me.
It does catch up. Well, great stories, and again, Lashay, you're the same way. I mean, great mentors. You know, and really the reason I like to do that is so many people in the world today don't have those kind of mentors, and so they depend on people like y'all and like us to be those mentors for them. And I think that's what is so great about transforming lives that we all have a part in. But so let's talk Gordon College. So
okay.
I was very fortunate to get to represent the University of Georgia at your investiture, which I had never been to in my life. I didn't know what
wow.
to expect. It
okay.
was the most formal,
okay.
awesome event.
Yay.
And I know behind the scenes, we'll say you had to be thinking a million things were going wrong. But it, from my standpoint,
Don't bring her back.
Exactly. It was flawless from the
awesome.
My perception of how it went. And just such a beautiful ceremony welcoming you. And you have, and you know, you and I have talked about this before, or we maybe not talk about this way, but you have a charisma that is very presidential to me. And so when you get up and speak, and when you did at the investiture, right. I hadn't heard you speak. You spoke to one of my groups on
right,
campus,
right.
but I hadn't heard you do the official speech. It was awesome. I mean, it was like, wait a minute, I think I need to sign up. I don't know if there was something
Thank
like Kool-Aid
you.
Or what it was, but it was a very special event, I know, for you okay. too, with your family there.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you'd been here a while
correct.
Before we did that, or before y'all did that, but it kind of set the mood for let's spring forward.
Thanks, Lou. And you know, we're excited to have you there along with the other, you know, leaders of the university system and the county and the cities and you name it. And it was a special day. We purposefully decided to delay, if you want to call it, doing the inauguration investiture until later on in the spring.
Okay.
Sometimes presidents will come on board. They will do it earlier because that's part of the tradition. But once I got to Gordon, within the first month to month and a half, it was clear to me that the institution needed a time to take a brief pause.
Sure.
And to begin to examine itself in a deep way so that we can say, this is the direction we're going. In fact, that's what people did. My first 3 or 4 months. So what's the vision? Where are we going? What are we doing? And I kept on saying, I don't have a magic card in my pocket. I'm telling you, I'm legitimately coming here to learn and to understand. So I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you right now. But I said, hang in there. In a year, I promise you, we will have something. So we took the year to explore. So that way, that investiture speech could be spot on. with sharing where are we going now based on this past year.
And it, I'm telling you, and you're, I know your first year was insanely crazy, and so was your second year. But yeah. But one thing, you came, I think it was on day two of your, when you got the job to come
right.
see me.
Right.
So, and the coolest thing about you, when, you know, I didn't know you from anyone else, didn't know if we were going to click or not, but we're driving around the golf cart to do the tour.
That's right.
And we're kind of hem-hawing around talking about a few things. And finally, I can't remember what it was you said, but I just stopped the cart and said, can we just talk?
Right.
And you're like, we can talk about anything. Yeah. And we just talked.
That's correct.
About partnerships and about what we need to do and what we haven't done and all. And immediately it just became clear there's a partnership
that's
budding
right.
here.
That's
it's
right.
only continued. So certainly I appreciate that on day two. but then the other thing you did, which I think is incredible, you instituted a strategic planning process,
yes.
but you involved the region.
Correct.
And you and I have talked yeah. regionally ever since we've known each other.
Right.
And kind of go into that process, if you will, a little bit, because it was extensive, and I was a part of it. I was very proud to be a part of it. But it was an incredible process, and something great came out of it.
Well, thank you. You know, for us, it once again was trying to help the institution to understand who we are, where we're going, and that means, to me at least, you have to have a data-informed conversation. So we started the process very early on in August with what we called our Student Success Summit. I worked with our institutional research folks to pull the typical research data, you know, the enrollment numbers, the persistence and retention numbers, graduation rates, and then began to disaggregate that by freshman and sophomore, by gender, by race, really trying to get a better understanding of who we are. You know, usually people will come and say, Kirk, how is enrollment? And then you will give them the big number, the 4,000, 3,000, whatever the number is, and they will take that now and make a lot of assumptions on, okay, is that good or bad?
Absolutely.
And what I wanted to do was not take the big number on that day. So we actually took the data, and that was the first time people realized what the enrollment trend looked like for the past 5 years. It was the first time people understood that Henry County was our largest sending county. They were blown away. They were
sure.
like, it's not Lamar. I was like, I'm surprised too, you all. I'm just sharing our data with us. So we had that sort of day. We then said we needed to take a closer look at how employees were feeling on campus. So we did an internal faculty and staff, if you want to call it, satisfaction survey on how did we feel, what resources did we believe we needed. We also had listening sessions in the community because I wanted to know what the community was feeling. So we set up, I think Lachey and others set up a number of listening sessions,
yeah,
probably
17,
yeah,
23,
about, wow, yeah.
maybe 23. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so,
awesome.
So we were all around what we call the 14 county primary service region, just going to small groups, listening and trying to get feedback. Then we said we needed to take a look at our academic programs. So we launched in partnership with the Carl Vinson Institute, what we call our workforce, workforce study. And Lou, you were a part of that,
absolutely.
But that was 32 people from around the region, not only higher ed partners, but K-12 partners. We had economic development partners. We had faculty and staff come together. And they took, you know, national and local workforce data to help us understand the trends and what opportunities we had, where our degrees were doing extremely well, filling a gap, and quite frankly, where our degrees were not really meeting expectations.
Sure.
So you had that. Then we said, you know what? We also need to understand our marketing and perception. So we ran a marketing and perception study. What did people think about us in the community? Not only foundation board members, but prospective students and current students, their parents, other influencers like principals and counselors. And we took all of that information. We put it all into a shared private website. And then we convened a college-wide group. And in December, about 100 faculty and staff came together. And I'm going to give them credit, Lou. They came together after commencement. You know,
wow.
After commencement, everybody's usually gone.
Absolutely.
The campus is usually a go. They stayed behind.
Wow.
It was that important to them.
Sure.
And we spent a full day, once again, in partnership with the Carl Vinson Institute, and they walked us through developing a strategic plan. It's a 5-year plan with 3 strategic imperatives. We restated our values. We restated our mission and our vision. We identified what we call our unique niche, which is providing the Highlander Edge. That Edge is an acronym. Standing for engaged innovator, dedicated scholar, gifted communicator, and ethical leader. And we put all of that into this plan. And I can tell you this 5-year plan is ambitious. It is comprehensive. And it really helps to position Gordon State College for where we need to be 5 years from now.
Well, and the great thing about everything you just said is you didn't come in. You know, a lot of people can be presidents. A lot of people can be assistant provosts. A lot of people can be can run radio stations, whatever it is. But there's a difference in coming in and listening, coming in and not just trying to run it.
Correct.
But coming in, and that's what I think so great about what you did. You came in and collected data, lots of data. I was only in on a little part of it, but it was awesome.
Yes.
But, I mean, and then from that, you involved the key stakeholders and said, how do we move forward? How do we, because I know you like to talk forward, which
that's
I do
right.
too. Highlanders forward, I love. But I mean, you talked about how do we move forward, not how do we look back.
That's correct.
How do we do what we've always done? How do we, and you're like me, and I've heard you say this before. I always say it this way. I can't move forward if I'm looking backwards. You just can't. When I first got here, I'm sure it's the same way in Gordon, I had a lot of people saying, well, we've always done what we've always done. I'm like, you know what? Let's try it another way.
That's right. We can always go backwards.
Right.
Let's try something forward.
So I think your process, I think it was incredible. I know it was probably painstakingly slow for y'all because of the time you took. But my gosh, to come out with a 5-year plan that is attainable and all the things that goals and plans should be, I think it's pretty incredible. So I credit you with that. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you. And you know, what we had to do, and I say had to because it was very important to me as president coming in, we had to acknowledge and respect the legacy
Absolutely.
Of what folks have built to get to this point. Because the truth of the matter is, Gordon has been in existence and operating in some form or fashion since 1852.
Exactly.
Now, there are a number of colleges and universities out there who have collapsed and they've closed and what have you. That wasn't Gordon. So we want to acknowledge everything that folks have done, whether it's the military college years, whether it was the high school years, whether it's a junior college, you name it, we respect and acknowledge and honor the legacy. The challenge we had in front of us was that the conditions 5 years from now, quite frankly, the conditions today are different than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago,
absolutely.
50 years. So if we didn't make some adjustments, I mean, one of them, honestly, let's just talk about mergers within the USG.
Sure. Oh, my gosh.
You know, when you had Georgia Perimeter and Georgia State merge, what you created was a Research One university with an access, if you want to call it, mission. So we would normally get students from the Atlanta area or what have you. Now those students are saying, hey, I got into Georgia State. They have football. I'm staying.
Exactly.
So we have to now help people to understand what is the uniqueness about coming to a Gordon State. What role do we fill? How do we partner with UGA Griffin to help Griffin and the surrounding areas have the workforce they need? How do we partner with the Southern Crescent to make this a viable higher education powerhouse right here in this part of Georgia? That's what we need to do.
And that's what I think, and that's why Elvetta is our makes our triad.
That's correct.
She's incredible, and I've got to get her on the show as well. But so Elvetta Thomas, president of Southern Crescent. So we have two powerhouses on the triad and then me. Because I'm not a president.
No, it takes three of us. It takes three of us, Lou. We're joined at the hip.
I'm the shorter leg on the stool. It's kind of wobbly. But no, the cool thing is I've got two presidents sitting with me when we meet and when we visit.
Right.
And so the thing I've said to y'all, and I'll say it again, is and I say this tongue-in-cheek a little bit, I need y'all worse than you need me because I don't have freshman and sophomore year. And so partnerships, they're a no-brainer anyway.
Right.
But even if I didn't want to, I would still be working with you. But I do because literally to fill the niches in the region, which all of us have to do, Alveda, you and I, all three, we've got to work together. There's advantages to you to work with UGA Griffin. There's certainly advantages to me to work with Gordon State. But the cool thing about it is we didn't meet and decide to do this because we thought we had to.
That's correct.
Just the right thing to do for the regional health, to show people that, yes, Georgia Perimeter is great or Georgia State's great, but you know what? So is Gordon State, and so is UGA Griffin. And it's the UGA Griffin degree is the same degree you get in UGA Athens.
That's correct.
There's a pathway to go from Gordon to UGA Griffin and finish a degree while living either in Barnesville or Griffin.
That's correct.
There's all kinds of awesomeness that's going on with this triad of – we have a regional education component that very few can match.
That's correct.
I tell you what, let's take a break real quick. We'll come back and kind of re-talk about it. And I also want to ask you, Lachey, how you keep this guy in line, because I don't understand how you do it. So I want to get to that here in a minute. But, Tony, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
You're listening to the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News on AM 1450 WKEU in Griffin, Georgia. Also heard on 102.3 FM and 88.9 FM The Rock, Georgia Public Radio at its finest. You can also stream us live on the website at WKEUradio.com and carry us with you wherever you go, courtesy the free WKEU app. This morning's program will continue after this. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms, We Build Forest, and Murray Company Realty, proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus, and proud to bring you this installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News over WKEU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, and 88.9 FM The Rock, Georgia Public Radio at its finest. The Harris's involvement with the students of today ensure for our community a brighter tomorrow. Time now to continue this morning's University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. For that, let us return to the host of the program. He is Campus Director and Assistant Provost, Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Thank you, Tony. Welcome back, everybody. We're doing another great show today. A little off the beaten path for what we usually do. We're talking to another college, but that's a great thing because it's such a great partner college. We're with Dr. Kirk Nooks, who is president of Gordon State College, and Lachey Sanders, who is his special assistant. So, Lachey, I want to come back to you because I said it before the break. Excuse me, how do you keep this guy in line? I cannot imagine his schedule because I know mine. What's kind of a tip, and I hate to say the word typical, what's kind of a typical day for you? And are you really like the gatekeeper and really, you're so nice that I can't imagine you being harsh, but I know you have to be. So tell me about your typical kind of day.
Well, my typical day wouldn't be possible with the entire Office of the President team.
Sure.
So we do have another staff member in our office. Her name is Ms. Jennifer Stutzman. She serves as Executive Assistant to the President, and I serve as Special Assistant. So a lot of times people are like, well, what's the difference? And so I like to just put it simple as Jennifer is actually the gatekeeper of the office.
Okay.
I'm the gatekeeper of the President.
Gotcha.
So she protects us. And then we have that double line of, you know, force.
Sure,
so you have
sure.
to get through her, then
and
me.
And literally you have to walk past both of y'all.
Yes.
to get to it, so I get it.
And that's exactly how the office is set up. But our office on a typical day, it's very unique. You know, just like any office, you go in with a set list of things you want to get accomplished and people you want to follow up with. And then the president walks in. And, you know, the president may say, hey, I know you were working on this, but
I don't sound like that, Lou.
But
my folks are listening back on campus. Are like, oh, I get it.
Yep, trust me. Yeah.
But yeah, no, a typical day is not typical.
Sure.
You know, and that just comes with the territory of being president. He represents Gordon State College. He's the face of Gordon State College when it comes to the Board of Regents and the entire university system as a whole. And so he heavily relies on his Highlander family to assist him in bringing the college to where it can go. So with that, he has his hand in a little bit of everything on campus because it all ultimately comes back to him to report to our chancellor, Dr. Steve Wrigley. So whenever he says, you know, we have to switch gears, we just switch gears.
Sure.
And I must admit, it's actually very fun. Because, you know, I'm not coming into work every day saying, okay, I got to do this, go home. I come into work every day like, oh, I might do this. Oh, I just learned I was doing this. Oh, and then later on today, I get to do this. I get the pleasure of being able to travel with him when he comes to do
Absolutely.
Speaking engagements such as this one. So the same perks that he gets as president, I get them without the title of president and without the responsibility. So I think I have it a little bit easier.
Hey, that's awesome. That's very well said. I love it. But you know, the great thing about what you said, too, is that I would assume my office people listening would say the same thing. It's never the same. I mean, that's why it's I said never, typical right. in quotes almost. But
yeah. Well, that's one thing I'd like to ask both you, Dr. Honeycutt, and you, Dr. Nooks. You know, you're perceived to be just educational leaders directing colleges.
Sure.
But you also have an awful lot of personnel under you.
Yeah.
Which you have to direct as well. What has that experience been like in managing so many different people from so many different disciplines?
Well, you know, that's to me part of the beauty and uniqueness of higher ed. You actually have highly competent people, you know, all trying to head in one direction, especially when you get to the faculty. These are experts within their own discipline. So it could be if we're dealing with a budget issue and I've got business and management faculty, these are individuals who have done that before, been there. If we're dealing with something wellness-wise, we've got a school of nursing. So you've got health professionals who knew this stuff, if you want to call it forwards and backwards. But it's really about helping people to understand the overall goal and vision. And with our strategic plan, we actually encourage people to tie their performance goals to the strategic plan. We continue to do professional development, not only with our leadership team. So we have, if you want to call it, sessions where we aim to understand our strengths better and our weaknesses and how we can benefit together as a team. We do the same exact thing for our cabinet. So you have the leadership team, then you have the cabinet. Something we instituted this past year and we're going to continue on is called the President's Administrative Council. That will include the deans, the AVPs, and the directors as well. And one of the things we did last year to really help was we held what we call transitional toolkit sessions. This is prior to my arrival. I identified literature on change, literature on relevance, and literature on organizational excellence. Put that all together, whether you had books or monographs or articles or a video or you name it. And we all read the information together. And it was like a great professional development experience to kind of stabilize expectations, to let people know that when you're talking about excellence in organizations, it cannot be achieved overnight. So for those people who are saying, oh, yeah, we're going to be like this 6 months from now, that wasn't the case. We had to slow them down. And then, quite frankly, for some people who are saying, you know what, we could get there in about 4 years, we have to help them understand a sense of urgency, saying, if we wait for 4 years, we're not gonna be around in this iteration. So just helping to balance that, focusing on strengths, and encouraging people. You know, we spend call it 8 to 9 hours a day together. These people are your family members away from home. So if people are hurting, we want to stop. I remember, for example, when I gave my introductory speech to the faculty and staff last year, I made a comment that, you know, throughout this journey together, we're going to have great times and high times, and we're going to recognize births and graduations and all these high accomplishments. And I said, and we're also going to have some challenges. And I said, we might, you know, have, you know, colleagues, not finish the journey with us for one reason or the other.
Sure.
And this past year, just by reflecting back, we had three faculty members to pass away this year.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And this is the first time since, you know, I think 2012. So it was a hard year for us, but we stuck together. We looked for the positive and the good in each other. And we knew that we could do it together, that there's this power of we that I'll talk about later on.
Sure. And I think it's so well said. And I think what you've done is because you you are approachable. You have developed this family mentality. I say team or family, but that's the words I like to use, right, too. And you've developed this kind of family mentality. Now, there's some that aren't, that may not fit in the mold of the family. Sure, that's everywhere.
Right.
But you give them every opportunity to be a part of what you're
doing.
That's
correct.
That, to me, is the key. Where I differ a little bit, excuse me, my position is, the good news for you is everyone there answers to you. On my campus, it's a great campus. We have 30 countries, and, I mean, there's incredible research going on. But there's a whole bunch of people that answer directly
setup,
to Athens.
Yeah, that matrix setup is
so it's
is
a
tough,
little harder to build that. And it's a little frustrating, but we include the ones that want to be included. You
that's
know, we
correct.
Build the family we can build. And then the cool thing, what we've seen is, as you do that, the ripples tend to expand.
That's correct.
And then we have others kind of join the fold that might not have before. So it kind of ends up the same way. It's just a little different mode of action, maybe.
Right.
But let's talk about the strategic plan. So, again, you and I, we don't have to focus just on the Griffin campus part, but certainly you and I have talked about the partnerships and I've said this before in this show, and well, again, the regional nature of how you lead is incredible to me. And I think all listeners know, because they see you everywhere just like they see me, we do a lot of things outside the office.
Correct.
I can't imagine being a president or an assistant provost or an academic leader of any type that never joins in the community. I'm such a, and I know you are as well, such a firm believer, and I'm going to take it farther than community and say the region, because this is South Metro, I get it, but we all have to kind of stick together, because Metro's big.
They
it's
are.
Powerful.
They
it's
are.
Scary. But we have some incredible, we have a triad of an incredible technical school.
Mm-hmm.
We have Gordon State College, and we have the University of Georgia within 17 miles of each
correct,
other.
Correct.
And we work together.
That's
that
right.
That might be
that's
the best
right.
part. It'd be really easy for you to say, Lou, I don't want to talk to you. I've got my problems of my own. Mm-hmm. Alveda, you're a competitor. I don't want to
right,
talk to you.
Right.
And Alveda say the same thing. We don't say that. And it's not because anybody told us to get together. It's because of that regional outlook.
Right.
So let's talk about your strategic plan, what you're planning on doing in the next 5 years to make Gordon even better.
Well, there are three strategic imperatives for this plan. The first one is all about what we call establishing a distinctive identity built on our values. And we're saying that's a fancy way of saying we're going to do some internal work. And we're gonna double down on our commitment to our values. And those values are, of course, being student focused. It's really about excellence. It's about respect. It's really about, if you want to call it this commitment to collaboration, coming out of this silo and the solo sort of environment. And creating the culture built on these values is going to be critical. It's going to require us to do some internal looking,
you know,
whether it's through our policies and processes. We are going to do some budget realignment work, because let's be frank, you know, with this, the resources that are available to us in terms of tuition, that's set at the Board of Regents level. And then the state allocations, you know, states not dealing with unlimited number of funds. So
sure.
So we've got to be very efficient. That's one of Chancellor Wrigley's points that he constantly reminds all of us on. So we want to do our due diligence on that. So we're going to be doing some internal work there. It's going to require us to professionally develop our folks on an annual basis. It's going to encourage us to ensure that our front door to the institution as far as human resources is consistent with onboarding, as well as transitioning employees. So there are a number of things within that first step, that first strategic imperative that we really want to take a look at. Strategic imperative number two is all about student excellence and talking about this through the academic journey. So there you're going to really start to unpackage now this Highlander Edge. Once again, that EDGE is an acronym for the engaged innovator, the dedicated scholar, the gifted communicator, and the ethical leader. And it's about saying this: once you're accepted at Gordon State College, we're going to commit that if you partner with us, you're going to come out, if you're finishing a 2-year degree or if you're finishing a 4-year degree, with this Highlander Edge. It's also a commitment to our employers in the region that if you hire a Gordon State College grad or take them on as an intern, you will benefit from this edge. We, you know, you hear about the employers talking about soft skills and showing up. We're going to tell this region, look to Gordon State to provide your workforce needs. That's whether it's a teacher, because we have an outstanding school of education. If you're talking about a nursing program, we have an ASN and a BSN program. Whether you're talking about engineers, we've got a two-year engineering program, a business degree, on and on. So we're going to be talking about that. And it's also about talking about a vibrant campus culture. We acknowledge that we have a residential population, Lou. Over 1,000 students
wow.
live on campus.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, you know, in years past, the students were probably challenging us to do a bit more. They didn't want to come on campus and have nothing to do.
Sure.
So now we're doubling down on that. We've got a new student orientation program that I'm going to brag for a second on our faculty and staff. We just instituted this new student orientation program last year. We revamped it based on national research and data. This past year, we won the USG's award for the best new student orientation
wow,
system-wide.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
So we're excited about that. And then we have some additional information coming out about what we call the Momentum Year. This is also a USG initiative to suggest that Gordon State College is one of the leaders within the U.S. I'm not going to say anything yet, but I'm going to tell you, watch right around the middle of August. You
sure.
might see some information coming out. But this is a testament to how hard our faculty and staff are working to say, you know what, we need to get this right for the success of our students. By the success of this NSO, we expect our retention numbers to increase. We expect our graduation numbers to increase. And we expect this Highlander Edge to be something attainable. We also heard our students. They want more of a co-curricular experience. That basically means a fancy term for things that happen outside the classroom.
Sure.
So this year we're starting a first student leadership academy. That's going to be kicking off August, I believe, 6th timeframe. We're also starting a welcome week for all new freshmen. That's going to be kicking off. So we're doing a lot of unique things to get our student body ready. We're going to be having what we call the Go Do Initiative, which is our community service initiative, mixed in with service learning. So that's coming up for the first time. Our FIRE course, which is our freshman experience class. All freshmen must take this FIRE course. We are having that to be a thematically based course, and it's going to be focused on discipline. So if you want to be a nurse, you're going to have a FIRE course that's thematically based with nursing. So we're going to have speakers from the community come in and talk about nursing. We're going to have field trips to the local hospitals because we want our students to know up front, if you want to dedicate your life to nursing, that there might be blood, there might be vomit, and we'd like you to know that beforehand.
Exactly.
You know, so all of that's strategic imperative number two. Finally, strategic imperative number three deals with strengthening community engagement and partnership. This is where we're trying to understand where we need to be. Now, there are some early successes under strategic imperative number three, because also underneath strategic imperative number three, we're assessing what we need facilities-wise.
Gotcha. Sure.
And we have a brand new building that we just cut the ribbon on a few weeks ago. This is our Student Success Center building. It houses all of our admissions, our financial aid, our bursar. It's basically our one-stop shop. It's the newest building on Gordon's campus.
Awesome.
It is beautiful. And at the same time, we're also talking about how do we repurpose our building. So our academic building that houses all of our humanities classes, that's getting ready to come offline next month. And throughout this next year, it's going to undergo extensive renovation to be designed for the learner of tomorrow.
Wow. Okay.
So that's going to come online. But in addition to that, community engagement, certainly under that, is going to be developing partnerships with higher education partners such
sure.
as yourself and Southern Crescent. We already signed an articulation agreement with Mercer University earlier this year, and we just recently signed one with Central Georgia. Developing partnerships with our K-12 partners, the superintendents, they've been great allies, they've been great advocates, but we want to help them understand what it's going to take to increase the college-going rate within their school districts. I know that's very important to them. It's very important Absolutely. To their board of trustee members. So we want to help them do that. And there are things that we can do on our part to do a better job. For example, today, well, we're hosting an open house for students who may have not made a decision to attend college.
Sure.
So we're doing those open houses during this summer because we want them to know it's not too late. Now, of course, once it gets to the second week in August, we're going to really start to slow down on the application route because of just timing-wise, we want students to be successful. But those are examples. You know, you also have partnerships like our alumni board and our foundation board. In fact, our foundation just launched their strategic plan as well on July 1st. And on our foundation board, you have 32 talented business leaders and civic leaders representing the 14 county service region. And they are responsible for overseeing $11 million in assets and making sure that we have enough scholarships and endowments for our students. So what you're hearing is this thing we're calling the power of we. And the power of we, that's our branding slogan for the next 5 years. And we don't only want it to be a slogan. We want it to be something we live out. And that means it's not only our faculty and our staff, it's not only our students, but it's this regional approach to getting the work done. We need the employers working with us on our newly recreated advisory boards that you're going to be hearing about. We need higher education partners like yourself. We need the foundation board members. We need the University System of Georgia and their expertise. And we need, quite frankly, colleagues at other institutions within the USG to make all of this possible. So that's how we view the power of we.
That's awesome. We'll come back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about the power of we, which I love that the way that sounds anyway. But Tony, let's take our last break for the day and we'll come back and talk a little more.
Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms, We Build Forest, and Murray Company Realty, proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus, and proud to bring you this installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News over WKEU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, and 88.9 FM, The Rock, Georgia Public Radio at its finest. The Harris' involvement with the students of today ensure for our community a brighter tomorrow. In news and announcements from the University of Georgia Griffin campus, the Dundee Cafe, located in the heart of the UGA Griffin campus, offers fresh culinary delights for breakfast and lunch Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 3 p.m., along with take-home pre-ordered casseroles, which are off the chain. Chef Marcy Bradbury and her team from the farm prepare scrumptious meals daily and offer specialty coffee served both inside and on the outside veranda. The Dundee Cafe is a welcoming place to meet and eat for the entire community. The campus store, located on the first floor of the Flint Building at 1109 Experiment Street, has new UGA and Georgia Bulldog items arriving weekly. Get yours to get prepared for the 2019 football season, which is just around the corner. The shelves are currently stocked with officially licensed apparel, souvenir, and gifts. The campus store hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. You can schedule your own UGA Griffin campus tour. Visit the UGA Griffin campus website to schedule a tour and learn all you can about the UGA degrees offered right here on the Griffin campus. Or if you'd like, feel free to simply schedule a time to come out and see all the wonderful aspects of the campus. Visit www.griffin.uga.edu and click the campus tour link. For information on degrees offered at the University of Georgia Griffin campus and information on current undergraduate and graduate degrees offered through the five colleges, visit griffin.uga.edu or call 770-412-4400. Time to wrap up this week's University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. Here's our host, Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Thanks again, Tony. Welcome back, everybody. We've been having a great discussion with two really cool people. I don't say cool people to just everybody, but Dr. Kirk Nooks, president of Gordon State College, and Lachey Sanders, who is his special assistant, who, again, I still don't understand how you keep him in line, but you do a great job, so that's incredible. You mentioned before we went to break the power of we, and you were talking about it a little bit. I think that's such an incredible regional approach to, and we keep talking regional, which is, but let's talk more about the power of we. It's not the power of I. It's not the power of Gordon. It's not the power of UGA. It's the power of we. Expand on what that means to you.
Well, to me, it's grounded and rooted in what that marketing firm helped us to understand. They interviewed everyone, and they did the qualitative analysis and all of that. And what they teased out was that everyone was consistently saying that Gordon State College was a nurturing institution, irrespective of time or where they came from. And they said that one of the quotes was, it's the type of institution that we come alongside you and provide the support. Ooh. So they said, you can't go it alone. And for me, Lou, that resonated because with everything we have going on in life and with everything we have going on in the world, sometimes we do lie to ourselves and think, I can do this by myself.
Sure.
I can make this on my own. But when you do sit back, the best organizations, the best people, so to speak, are always supported by good people. It's no different than me being here today. I could say, oh, I'm doing this on my own.
Sure.
But I know without Lachey and Jennifer and a wonderful leadership team and a cabinet and faculty and staff and students, I can't get this work done. So the power of we basically emerged from that data that we can't go it alone, that we will come alongside of you, that we will support. But then we took it as a leadership team and said, you know what? This is not only about the learning. This is about the 14-county service region of although Spalding might have the assets, if you want to call it, of a UGA Griffin and a Southern Crescent and the access to a Gordon State College, the workforce that might be a Henry County thing.
Sure.
That might be a Fayette County thing. But we all need each other. You know, when it comes to the foundation board, well, the institution can try to go it alone, but we need the foundation board to help us raise the money for scholarships and endowments.
Absolutely.
Well, we can try to go it alone without the students. No, the students bring the vibrancy, and we need the students to exist. Well, we could do it without the faculty. No, we can't. They bring the level of expertise. So this power of we, to me, transcends, you know, Gordon as an educational institution and really captures us as a catalyst,
right,
which is a part of our vision statement to say we can be a catalyst for this vision within this region. And that's what we seek to do. And we believe everyone is a partner. To me, it's not a zero-sum game. There are enough students. There are enough needs in this area for UGA Griffin, for Southern Crescent, for Gordon State, to be successful. We just need to work together to not confuse people about
exactly
what we offer and what we do. And when we all benefit, this region will benefit.
Extremely well said. And one of the things I've never told you and since the year I've known you, but the first day we met, one of the reasons I knew we were going to get along is in the first, because I asked you, I said, tell me about you. You were brand new. And so you did. You never, and I say never, you might have done it once, but I don't remember. You never said I. And I never say I just did. But I mean, we think alike in this. I mean, it is a we. There are things that yes, maybe I accomplished, but I couldn't have accomplished it if 324 other people weren't doing their jobs at the University of Georgia Griffin.
Correct.
And so I really respected that from day one and still do today, that it's the we, and it is the power of we. And it's not the I, Kirk Nooks, am the best person in the world. And you may be, but
no,
you spread the wealth. And that's an incredible component, I think, of leadership.
Well, thank
and
you.
It's really something that's missing, I think, in a lot of leaders today, nationwide or worldwide, that you hear a lot of that I, me, and inherently I'm like, No, there is no me to this. But so we got a couple of minutes left, I think. 1 minute left, okay. I think let's just finish up by last words you want to add in. So you got, 42 seconds.
Well, I just want to say we're delighted to be here, thankful to be here. I also want to acknowledge the power of we with my family. My family relocated, my wife, three kids. That's also a part of the power of we. I mean, I could not be president if it wasn't for them and their dedication to serving the college and the region.
So. Well, and your daughter spoke at your investiture, and that
she was truly special. She gets it from mom.
it was truly awesome. Lachey, you get the final words for the day. What's next for you? What's next for this guy sitting next to me? What's next for Gordon?
What's next for all of us?
There you go.
Is just a continued partnership, a great relationship, and just many, many years of helping students to come through high school and then eventually land at either Gordon State College or UGA Griffin to hire themselves with their education.
Awesome. Very, very well said. Great note to end on. So we've been with Dr. Kirk Nooks, president of Gordon State College, and Lachey Sanders, special assistant to the president at Gordon State College. Thank you all so much for being here. We will definitely have you back for another show. And Tony, that'll do it for us today.
We thank you for joining us for this week's installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. Dr. Lou Honeycutt will take a 167-hour break at this time. He'll be back next Thursday morning at 9 a.m. for more UGA Griffin Campus News. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms, We Build Forest, and Murray Company Realty, proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus, and proud to bring you this installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News over WKEU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, and 88.9 FM, The Rock, Georgia Public Radio at its finest. The Harris's involvement with the students of today ensure for our community a brighter tomorrow.
You've been listening to the University of Georgia Griffin News, a program to keep our listeners updated on the exciting and varied activities at the UGA Griffin campus with Dr. Lou Honeycutt and his guests. The program is heard each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on WKEU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, and also The Rock 88.9 FM, and streamed live on our website, wkeuradio.com. Today's program has been made possible by Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms and Murray & Company Realtors. Join us next Thursday at 9 o'clock a.m. for the University of Georgia Griffin News.